If you got your Bibles, go to Psalm 18 and stand with me. I'm starting another series. Mike Hathaway told me he would like for me to finish them, and I'm going to do my best, Mike. Stand with me to Psalm 18, and I don't know how far I'll get. I may just get through introduction, but I have this on my heart. Now, I'm preaching on Sunday mornings, the gospel works, and it does. And I'm preaching on Wednesday night on the book of Daniel, talk about things to come, and he is coming. But I'll be honest with you, in between his coming, before he comes, I need what Psalm 18 has. And I want you to look at it with me. I'm going to start at verse number 1. I'm going to read down through verse number 18. Though eventually I'll get through the whole chapter, chapter 18. It's just about one of my favorite chapters in the Word of God. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Somebody else shout right there, okay? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compass me. And the floods of ungodly men may be afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Somebody ought to shout here. He heard it. My voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him. Now this right here is just about time to shout.
Yeah, preach on, preacher.
Even in his ears. Now I'll preach on this a little later. But it's one thing to get your prayers into heaven. Heaven's a big place. But to get them in the ears of God.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Man, oh man. Time out, hallelujah. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherubim and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. Man, Chad. His pavilion around about him were dark waters and thick clouds of skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightning and discomforted them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the fountains of water were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He said from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Here's the text. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. Listen to this. But the Lord was my stay. Father, I need you again.
Yes, Lord.
While on others you are calling, don't pass us by here at Taze Valley. Lord, I am confident this series I have that you gave me is the message for the hour and the message for people in this church in this time in their life. There's people facing battles, carrying burdens that need some help. There's some folks that may not know it, but soon they'll be going through the valley of Baca. And God, I pray, God, you'll help us preach. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now, while you're there, if you're a Bible student and you study your Bible carefully, this passage actually, Chad, is repeated from another area in the Word of God. David, in the background of this chapter, is 2 Samuel chapter 22. When David prays God for deliverance. How many of you are glad when God comes into your life and delivers you from something nobody else could help you with? Amen? I'll just read a couple verses of 2 Samuel 22. You'll see it quickly. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Then he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield or buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. See, that's a connecting verse. Now, as I introduce this psalm to you tonight, I am comfortable with telling you this was David at the back part of his life. After he done been through all kind of mess and all kind of trouble. And he was looking back and he was reminiscing and writing down what he had been through and who had got him through all his trouble. Amen. See, by the way, he was worshiping God. And I want you to know something. Worship ought to be vertical instead of so much horizontal. Now, some of y'all get that in a minute. I'm not real interested in conjured up worship that is horizontal. But I am thrilled about vertical worship. Don't you worship the preacher? The choir is tremendous. You don't worship the choir. You worship the Savior they're singing about. Somebody help me preach right there. That's what's wrong with most churches today. They fall and go down is they built something on man and built something on man worship. Listen to me, friend. John Smith loves you. I've been faithful to you and I'll be here till the Lord calls me home. But I want you to know something. Don't worship me. Don't just be here for me. You be here because you want to worship God Almighty and you want your worship to go up to Him. So I believe it was the last part of his life. David may have had some regrets, but he found out that even in his missteps that God forgives. I want you to know something. Can I stop for a chat? I may not get past the introduction. You know you Baptists need to hear this. God will forgive a lot quicker than you do. It kind of breaks my heart. We have folks, yeah, messed up. Folks that go wrong. Folks that stumble. And what we want to do is kick them while they're down. But somebody else shout glory. But my God ain't like that. He's a forgiving God, a benevolent God. No wonder David, you know the sins of David, but I want you to know something. There's something that's said about David that he did always please God. Whew. Amen. Yeah. I'm glad I've got an advocate. Somebody say amen. I've got somebody that is my defender. I got somebody that blocks God's wrath from me. David's rehearsing and summarizing what had went down in his life. He just got down and started writing about how much he loved God. And as he started thinking back, he found himself. And by the way, David didn't start out in the mountain. He started out out there in the desert tending sheep. And when they needed a king and Saul had sinned, and Samuel went to Jesse for, somebody help me here, I'm about to get happy, to get one of his boys to be king, they brought all them boys were lined up, Ken. They were real admirable. I'm going to make a statement here in a minute. They were real admirable. They were stout. They were handsome. They felt like me, built real good. And specimens. And they came before Samuel. First one came. Uh-uh. Second one came. Uh-uh. The next one came. Uh-uh. And on. And on until he got through all of them. Then he said, "They any left?" Oh yeah, got a little red-headed boy out there tending sheep. Just a kid, just a teenager. I mean, you ain't gonna want him. You know what Samuel said? Fetch him. David's reminiscing all this. Fetch him. Brought David out of there. Brought him before Samuel. And here's what Samuel said. But yeah, I'll add a little John Smith on this. He the man. Let me give you something. It's more, listen to me. It's okay to be admirable, but it's better to be anointed. I know a lot of admirable preachers that have not one ounce of God's anointing on them. I know there's a lot of admirable church people, but don't have one ounce of God's anointing on them. I want you to know something. What makes a difference in our lives? It's God's power and God's anointing. Amen. And you know the battle was on. He just reminiscing, Chad. I'm trying to get through this. The battle was on in the Battle of Elah, in the Valley of Elah. Has a 9-foot-6 giant down there. Mocking God. Cussing God. Cussing the other people. Letting them have it. And Jesse told David. Boy, listen to this. I got some good preaching. Jesse told David, "I want you to go down there and help your brothers. They down there in the midst of the battle and take them some lunch." That's what he said. Am I preaching? Take them some lunch. Now, you'll never kill a giant if you're not cool with carrying a lunch. No, I don't know if you got that. You'll never kill a giant if you're not cool with carrying a lunch. See, here's what I see. We have a bunch of people today. This society's this way. Man, I don't know if I'm going to get through all this. This society's bent this way. Everybody feels like they're entitled. Hey, these preachers we got on now, they start, yeah, you're starting at the bottom. But that ain't a bad place to start. Because the good thing about the bottom is everything is up. I know what the bottom is. I know what it is to go to a church that tried out 38 preachers, and I was number 39, and all 38 turned the church down. And I took it as a little young man not to. You said, why'd you go? Because I believe God was able. And I didn't mind carrying a lunch. So one day I might be a giant killer. Y'all still with me? David went down there and heard all that cussing from that giant. Heard all that junk. Steps up to Saul and says, let me at him. I want him. 16, 17 year old red-headed boy with freckles. Let me at him. You know what Saul told him? You just but a youth. Somebody help me preach. You just a boy. You just a youth. Oh boy. Can I make a statement here? It's not your age that counts. It's your God that counts. You know what? Boy, I'm getting there. Come on, somebody say with me. You know what David said to Saul? Hey, I done killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands. And I ain't got no problem with that giant. I got it. Let me at him. And here comes Saul, big strapping. Saul goes and tries to put his armor on him. David, oh, weighted down that armor. He said, oh, I'm reminiscing. Hey, don't be putting no heavy armor on me. I can't carry your armor. Hey, this ain't me. I got it. I got me a slingshot and 5 stones. He said, why in the world didn't that? And you know what? David took that slingshot and the 5 stones, cracked that giant on the head, took the sword, his sword, cut his head off, and came back and said, looky here. I'm just introducing this message. I'm trying to get where I want to be. But I want y'all all to know something. He didn't go through that. He didn't do that on his own. He did that because he had a God that was with him. He had a God that was faithful. He had a God that was worthy. Whew. Then after that happened, they started bragging about David. Here's what they said. David got his 10,000s. And Saul, you just got thousands. And by the way, I'll tell you what happened. Saul got jealous. And by the way, I'll just run one rabbit. This church is for everybody. And it is not right to be jealous of anybody. If somebody sings and gets blessed, praise the Lord for it. It don't matter. It's God. And I'll tell you what destroys a lot of churches. It's a bunch of jealous people that they don't want to be separated. They don't want to really serve God, but they want to knock down everybody else does. I really didn't even like God's preaching that. He went through sorrow. I want you to know something. Every sorrow you go through, every critic that you have, every trial that you got, every hater you got, every stressful situation you got, I want you to know something. God has never failed you. I'm getting to the message. He makes a statement. And I want you to look at it in verse number 18. After reminiscing for all he's been through, he makes this statement. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But somebody say amen. But the Lord was my stay. Woo! He said, God was my stay. Now I'm going to illustrate that. You know when you're getting old. Let me tell you when you're getting old. It's when you go to your house, drive like I did this evening, drive to my house to go get a stay, and went there and forgot what I wanted. Now let me show you what a stay is. Brother Markham has one on. A stay, there's two kinds. There's one that kind of get in your collar. You know what a stay is that gets into your collar. You know, a preacher like me needs to stay in his collar because what's going to happen? I'm going to get real ruffled and preach real hard, and my collar's going to start jerking up. And then, look here. Let me illustrate. See? See what's happening? That tide's jumping all over the place. But see, that stay, if that stays right there, Rich, that tie ain't moving. They didn't get it, but I'm going to give it to y'all. If that stays right there, your tie ain't moving. I'm preaching this series in the next few weeks. Stay in power. Stay in power. Let me give you three or four things by way of introduction. I'm still preaching, friend. They prevented me in my calamity. Listen, they tried to take his life. He had his critics. He had his burdens. He had his difficulties. But God was my stay. I'm going to preach on this subject. Stay in power. Stay in power. I may not get to point one. Stay in power. I'm coming down here a little bit. Stay in power. By the way, you don't tithe just when you got money and you got a lot of abundance. You tithe because it's the right thing to do, whether you're doing great or whether you're doing bad. Hey, man. You don't go to church just out of convenience. You go to church because you got staying power. I'll tell you three or four things. I see a bunch of ministers, Brother Lewis, they don't have staying power. I get asked this question. And I ain't mentioned no name, but I'm going to just tell you like it is, okay? Because I ain't afraid. People come to me, why don't you have certain something, this certain somebody back? Why don't they come to Jubilee more? Because they like that tie. They ain't had no staying power. Let me tell you something. I'm not having a man come to my church that left the fundamental movement, changed his Bible to another Bible, changed his music to rock Christian, and took Baptists off his door. I don't care how well he used to preach. He is not coming to Tay Valley Baptist Church because he did not have staying power. Hey, listen, I started this thing as an independent fundamental single rallying hell, fire, and brimstone Baptist preacher, and I'm going to end up the same way. Hey, it'll be a cold day in where the Booker man is before Baptist is off our door. It'll be a bad day before I change the rock Christian. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. Just get it down. I'm staying by it. I'm not going to get in and rub shoulders just for money and just for popularity. I ain't in that. I'll tell you something. We need some folks that's in it for more than money and popularity and a big name. I want to please God. Yeah, I've had a few folks come to church and leave church. And I'll tell you why. There's a big baby because they didn't get their way. Couldn't follow authority. There's like that tie. Up one time, down the other. They didn't have no staying power. They wanted to be boss. They wanted to be the guy. Last time I checked, I'm the preacher. Last time I checked, God let me lead you. Somebody help me. We got a bunch of ministers dropping off. Hey, by the way, a bunch of marriages are collapsing. I'm going to make a statement here. I'm not going to get to the first point, so just let your heart not be troubled. I want to tell you something I detest. And if you come for counseling for me for your marriage and you tell me this, I'm going to blow up on you on purpose. Well, I love him. I'm just not in love with him. What kind of dumb mess is that? I love him. I'm just not in love with him. What kind of crazy madness is that? I had somebody come and throw that junk in my face one day. And you know what I said to him? I gave him a chance to repent and say,
Rich, I did. I said, now, you didn't mean what you just said. Aren't you up to reconcile your marriage? Oh, I love him, but I'm not in love with him. I said, what are you coming to me anyway for? How in God's name can you say you're saved and got agape's love and you say, I used to love him, but I ain't loving him no more. I love him, but I don't love him. Them people are knuckleheads. They crazy. You what I say to you? They ain't got no staying power. You know, listen to me. Didn't Miss Smith look pretty this morning? And I know what y'all think. What is that young-looking woman running around with that old-looking man? But if you go back there and look at them pictures on that, whoa, I used to have hair. I want you to know something. Marguerite, they see you and me, and they think, them people got the perfect, they're just perfect. They ain't never had no troubles. Oh yeah, we've waited through stuff. But I tell you what we haven't done. We haven't decided to quit on each other. Come on now, what a wicked testimony that is. We're staying with it. We got staying power. There are probably some marriages in this room right now. Y'all been thinking about leaving each other. You've already used the D word. Oh, it's quiet in here now. All that makes me do when you get quiet like that is to plow you some more. Come on now. You can get through this with God. I know the whole world's saying go that way, but God's saying stick with it. They prevented me in my calamity, but my God was my stay. I about done a flip-flop in men's prayer room today. I did. Where's Eddie Miller and Selena? Is Selena here? Selena's not here, but Eddie's staying. Eddie, when was it? How many years been since your boy was killed? 12 years. He got up and gave a testimony of his boy, his death. And what he said in a nutshell? God took him through it.
Amen.
God was his stay. I remember, Eddie, this, I'm not trying to be joking, but joking ain't no joke. I was having a hard time sleeping, so I took a bunch of sleeping meds and some Tylenol PM. Don't y'all look at me, you do it too. And about half crazy, Eddie called me at 2 o'clock in the morning. 2, 3. I went out to get in my garage to get my car, and there wasn't no cars there. I called David Lamont. David said, I'll be there. David took me over there. We went in there, and I put my arms around them and prayed through the night with them. And I encouraged them that God is their stay. There's some of you tonight, you have been through it. Look, God is your stay. There's some of you tonight have got enemies and they hate you and they're after you and they're trying to destroy you. But can I tell you that God is your strength? There's some of you that's facing cancer and diabetes and other physical things and your body's starting to get weakened. But let me tell you tonight, the Lord is your stay. You got staying power. Ain't no time to quit. Ain't no quiet time to murmur and whine around. I can't hardly take whiners. People whining. I don't want any of you people whining in Tate Valley Baptist Church. This God's been good to us. I know we have our problems. I know the devil's after us all the time. Who wouldn't be after a fundamental church like you? Yeah, the devil hates us. But I want you to know something. I started here when I was 27 years old. Yes, I've been in valleys. Yes, I've had battles. Yes, I've been beaten down. But I want you to know something. God kept me through. And God took me through. And God was my stay. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do point number one next week. Let me ask you, I'm going to walk through here. I'm done. How many of you tonight on this session, you've been ready to just throw in the towel? You think the devil just about got you? Listen to me. They're staying by our God. How many in this section here, listen, the devil's tried every way in the world to try to get many of you not to serve him. He's trying to beat you around. But God is my stay. I'm trying to encourage you. Hey, we prayed for you. You came down here a mess, wasn't you? Got in this church, you served, man. You've been a great servant. Ain't joined right yet. You're out of the will of God on that. Sorry.
I'm a slow learner.
Well, pick it up. Didn't have a job. Everything was a mess. We started praying.
Amen.
And here's what happened. That God saved you, that saved you years ago, have come on the scene, provided you a job, got you and your wife back on your feet. Somebody ought to raise your hand and say, glory. Hey, those folks over in this section over here, you over here tonight. Hey, as I look at Miss Judy, Miss Judy, I know how much you've been through with your heart and all that mess and everything. But aren't you glad you got a God that is your stay, that took care of you, that loves you, that was with you? There's somebody ought to raise your hand and say, glory. That God was my stay. Oh, they prevented me in my calamity. Hey, teenager, you don't have to follow the devil's crowd.
Yeah,
you hear me, teenagers? That bunch of heathen you had to deal with every day on a daily basis, that cuss and use drugs and smoke reefers and do all that junk, you don't have to succumb to it. You can keep yourself pure. You can keep yourself right. You said, how can I, preacher, in a school where 85% of the seniors have already had premarital sex, they've already used marijuana at least once, they drink and smoke and cuss every day from it, how can I make it? Because God's your stay. Listen to me. Ain't no time throwing up the white flag and surrender. Come on now. Ain't no time of saying I'm done. God is your stay. Whoo! I tell my staff, you young preachers just coming on, you ain't going to have it always easy. Now you in your honeymoon stage right now. And they won't nobody say nothing ugly, at least for another month. But you mark it down. You'll say something and you'll do something. And somebody will come clawing up at you. But don't you let it shake you. Because God is your stay. Those folks in this room, you came in this room tonight thinking, I just don't know if I'm going to make it much longer. This thing is just about I have been put down by family, friends. I've been persecuted by people that used to say they loved me. How am I going to make it? I'll tell you how. David said the Lord was my stay. You do have staying power. Bow your head with me. Will y'all be honest with me? How many of you tonight have been facing something in your life? Financial foes, some kind of something in your life. Where the devil's been after you and trying to stop you. Raise your hand up. Come on, slip them up all in the church. Yeah, I see them all over. You know what I'd like for you to do? I'd like for you to come around this altar. There ought to be some couples come around this altar. Say, God is not going, I'm not going to let the devil destroy my marriage. I'm staying. Say, some of you tonight ought to say, I need you. There's people coming to the altar right now. You ought not to have to be prompted. You ought to say, God, I want you more than now than I ever wanted you before. You ought to sit by your seat. Stand with me. We're going to sing, people coming, praying. This whole altar ought to be filled with people that's saying, I need God. Father, touch, I pray. And we'll praise you. Lord, thank you for this start in this series. Help me to do more as the weeks come. In Jesus' name, come on. People coming. People coming. I'm telling you, you need to get up here. Aren't you glad God's good? I don't know how many of y'all came to church tonight and you say, I needed that. When I first got these hearing aids, I said, dear Lord, have mercy, I'm getting old. But you know what? And sometimes I turn them off when certain people talk. I want you to know I'm not going to let no physical infirmity, nothing, stand in the way of me serving God. Because I'm going to stay with it. Somebody help me.